Views on this program are opinions of dental industry experts and not necessarily those of dentist advisors. Opinions shared in the following interview do not constitute personal financial advice. This program is furnished by Dentist Advisors, a registered investment advisor.
This is Dentist Money. Now, here's your host, Reese Harper.
Welcome to the Dentist Money Show. I'm your host, Reese Harper, here with a special guest today to cover a very interesting subject. Mr. Jordan Comstock of Boom Cloud is here to talk about in-house membership programs and how you can kind of navigate this fee-for-service world with a little bit more efficiency than maybe you've done in the past using some cool technology. So, Jordan, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for taking the time to be here.
Thanks, Reese. I'm excited to be here. This is a cool place.
Thanks. Appreciate you for coming. He's on site. We try to do as many of these as we can in the office because the audio quality is like so much better.
Yep,
and I actually
agree.
Get to like see somebody and get to meet them. So this is awesome. So define for people who are just getting started in the industry and don't have a good background into what an in-house membership program is. Let's define it really quick and how that's different from maybe different than what they think it is.
Yeah. So the simplest description I use for it is Amazon Prime for dental practices or Costco membership for dental practices, right? A patient pays a monthly or yearly subscription and they get discounts and benefits to that office and that office only.
So why would an office implement an in-house membership program versus just working with PPOs exclusively?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great question. So PPOs are known to discount or force their providers to discount deeply, and it's a joke. I'm going to be upfront with you, right?
Yeah.
These dental practices are getting squeezed to death through these insurance companies on a financial end.
Yeah.
And what's happening is insurance companies come in and they're in control of the practice, from the fees to the quality of dentistry. And there's a stat out there that U.S. Surgeon General claims that over 108 million people in the United States don't even have dental insurance. So there's a large market out there that doesn't even have dental insurance. So you can go the route and just accept a bunch of PPOs, but there's still that other half of the market that does not have a program or a plan that they're paying for dental care.
Yeah, and I've read a lot of statistics that talk about, you know, the what's the number one reason you went to a particular dentist? Right. And why do you, I mean, you probably know this, but it seems like that the reason they mostly go is because they're in network with my insurance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, isn't that the kind of the primary reason why guys show up?
Insurance is, it motivates people to go to the doctors in their network, right?
Yeah. Especially when their employer is paying for their insurance. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what, you know, how, I guess, how do I, in that with that reality, right, I guess what's a step in the right direction that I can take? Because I know that if I just say I'm not going to accept any of these PPOs anymore, that's not going to work for the majority of listeners today. But
yeah,
they're going to have to phase something in, you know. Is that something that you know is easy for a lot of people to do, or is it just it's a dead end when they try to start implementing something?
Yeah, they don't want to cut out all the PPOs, you know, all at once.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. You slowly phase them out and negotiate PPO fees with the good PPO providers, right? And cut out the bad ones.
So try to just ultimately get some help to reduce the poor exposure that you have. And you're saying implementing an in-house membership program just helps supplement the good PPOs that you're probably working with.
Yeah, exactly. You can definitely do that. There are some practices out there that don't accept PPOs whatsoever.
Yep, period.
But obviously the majority of the industry, you know, has a list of PPOs they're working with.
Totally. Okay. So is it all of this legal, and how do I get around, you know, how do I stay within compliance of existing laws in my state, you know, when I'm trying to implement an in-house program?
Yeah. So it's definitely legal. And certain states have certain regulations. For example, California requires you to get a license from them. And I've been working with that state on the process, because I think so far, from what I understand, they're the most complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But certain states have different regulations. Some of them require you to just have an agreement and not to call it insurance. It can't be called insurance. That's probably the biggest one. And just have an agreement are really the basics, what any office should have.
So tell me a little bit about any other benefits that we didn't hit on. We talked a little bit about what it was, but I don't know if we hit on all the benefits of implementing this in the practice.
Yeah, so there's a lot of benefits. So The first one I like to talk about is recurring revenue. And we were speaking
starting about that.
Yeah, it's good, right?
I got you down another tangent.
Yeah, it's good. No worries. So recurring revenue is great for any business. I'm sure you as a finance guy can, you know, appreciate recurring revenue.
Yeah.
So a practice can generate either yearly or monthly recurring revenue. And for example, there was a practice in North Carolina, and his first year, he signed up around 1,000 patients on his membership program, and it generated close to $30,000 a month of predictable recurring revenue, you know. And I know a lot of these dentists out there, they have very busy months and slow months. And if you can stabilize your business like that, it's a less stressful to run. So that's the first benefit. The second benefit is you're in control of your fees, right? The biggest problem today, dentists don't have control of their fees, and that essentially is control of their business, right? So by implementing an in-house membership program, they have control of their fees, and then they also have don't limit their patients with the insurance, right? They don't have yearly maximums, and their case acceptance is extremely higher because they're in control. So
yeah,
those are some of the benefits that I see across the nation.
Well, and your company, you don't really dive deep into helping set those fees as much, right? Don't you bring in and partner with different people to help do that? I mean, your BoomCloud focuses primarily on the administration of the plan that an office designs. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We do have templates from successful practices that we've worked with and seen success. So a lot of practices, when they sign up, we have a list of templates that they can use for plans. And most practices use a business consultant or
practice management consultant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That help them with their fees. We don't necessarily get into that. People ask us, hey, what are you seeing out there? And we'll give them our advice, but we don't dive into that.
Well, and I think talk to me a little bit about how you would market a membership program to your existing patient base or to the community when you're competing with all these corporate dentistry and in-house, you know, and provider network that's on my existing PPO. Mm-hmm. When I look at my provider list and Mr. Dentist is not on there, I mean, am I just going to go to the PPO am I going to go to the provider that's in network, or, you know, is there something that I can do as a competitor that has this in-house plan to incentivize a patient come see me? Because the fee schedule that I'm going to have to pay out of pocket needs to be competitive, or it needs to offer additional benefits. I mean, in my experience as an entrepreneur, you can always price higher, or you can price, you could be more expensive as long as you have more value to add.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, you know, how can they market this and differentiate this a little bit?
What works out there is, first, start with your existing patients, right? I was at an office the other day telling them about this program, and I said, pull up your data off your practice management system. And they looked at people that had PPO insurance or just dental insurance versus people that didn't. They had about 1,000 people in their practice, in their patient base, that did not have dental insurance. I'm like, start there.
Yeah.
Right? That's a gold mine, because they know you. They trust you. Start there. You can really roll out a membership program with the people in your practice that don't have dental insurance. So look at the data. And I know Dentrix has some reports that you can pull that shows that data. And the second is, I spoke with a doctor in North Carolina, and what he did to grow his practice is he targeted retirees. And the cool thing about that market, for a dentist standpoint, right, is they lose their dental insurance when they retire.
Yeah.
So, and
that's the low hanging fruit, right?
It's the low hanging fruit, right? Yeah. So most people, most retirees, they lose their dental benefits, and they're the demographic that need dental care the most, because they're getting older. They want to enjoy their teeth, because having no teeth is miserable.
And having no teeth is miserable.
I've seen
that quote on the podcast cover for this episode.
Yes. Put that under quote. Yeah.
Okay.
Producer. So that's a great market. People that are getting ready to retire because they don't have a plan.
Yep.
And they have disposable.
So I've got low hanging fruit between my existing patient base that doesn't have insurance. I can run my Eaglesoft reports, my dentist reports, and identify that group. And then I can maybe look at an older demographic or people that are out of the workforce, because they definitely don't have dental insurance. I mean, those are definitely two target groups. It might not be 100% of your practice, but it might be a large chunk.
Yeah.
And you start by just identifying that, you know, what percentage of my new existing patients are without insurance anyway.
Yeah. And that's the easiest thing to get started with this type of program.
Any thoughts on how I would approach those people? Like how your clients have successfully kind of approached that, those 1,000 patients that are sitting there without dental insurance?
Yeah. So a lot of practices have systems like SolutionReach, mm-hmm. Or others that do text message reminders or even email messaging, right? So you can do an email blast out or a text message blast out to those people in the practice, those patients, I should say, and contact them that way. And then obviously just flag them as they're coming into their appointments and kind of educate them on a membership program. With the retirees, I would, if you're doing external marketing, I would do a direct mail campaign. And then another cool thing that I've heard is one of the doctors I've spoke with, he went to the community center and scheduled a event, brought food, because that brings everyone to events, right?
Yeah.
So he brought food, educated the group on dental care, and then said, hey, you don't have to have dental insurance to join my practice. We have this awesome program. And then he would just educate. And he did that every month and generated 1,000 patients in that first year. It's that same doctor I spoke with.
Okay.
Spoke about earlier.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's what he did.
Ultimately, do you have any perspective on what the patient's thinking when they get approached? Like as a consumer, as a patient, I don't have dental insurance. I'm currently just, you know, paying $600 when I had my last thing done, mm-hmm. and I paid $200 because there wasn't much to do, and then I paid $1,500, and I'm used to paying just these big lump sums.
Yeah.
What's the selling point of this membership program that makes me as a patient go, you know what, I want to sign up for that?
Yeah, so there's a practice here in Utah that I speak with a lot because their main strategy is a membership program. And basically how they sell it is, well, it's a better deal than what they're getting in the dental insurance, right? In most cases,
yeah.
Right?
Meaning, okay, your premium's going to be, there's no premium, yeah, there's, so it's not insurance.
Yeah, there's no, yeah.
There's a membership fee that I pay that's less than what I would have to pay to buy dental insurance.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get benefits that are greater than what I would get from the dental insurance company.
Yeah, in most cases. And again, practices can control their own fees, so it's going to vary from office to office.
Totally.
But on a patient benefit perspective, they don't have to deal with the hassles of dental insurance,
yeah,
on that end as well.
It's simpler.
It's simpler because when you join when you have dental insurance on a patient level, you know, you can choose any dentist in the network, right?
Yep.
But, you know, what if your doctor is not in the network? What if your job switched dental insurance companies and that doctor that you've been going to for years, you know, is not on the network? That's where an in-house membership program can come into handy with that patient.
So it sounds like the one of the kind of primary challenges is just going to be determining the structure of the benefit plan you want to mm-hmm. deliver, and that's something that you guys have several templates for. We're going to have some other guests on the show over the next month that'll kind of dive into that in a little bit more detail, yeah, as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, start with the low-hanging fruit, start with existing patient base, because there's a way to convert that into more recurring revenue and deliver an experience that you can control and price effectively. I think that's one of the biggest challenges for me looking at it is just going, I don't control my fees. I don't control what I get paid.
Yeah.
It makes it really difficult to control the experience that that someone's going to have because I don't know how to price that, what we can deliver if I'm not, you know, really sure what we're going to collect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's intuitive to a lot of people that they should kind of go that route. What do you think the mistakes are that they make as they try to implement this, though?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of mistakes. So the biggest one I see is practices don't automate payments. They have their staff manually run the cards every month. If it's a monthly membership program, one of my friends, she is an office manager. They have this program in their office. And she's like, I am so sick of running the cards every month. You know, these days, we're in the 21st century. You can use computer technology to automate payments and all that fun stuff, right? So that's one of the biggest ones I see. Another one is not doing auto renewals. there's another practice that I spoke to, this is a couple months ago. Their biggest issue, they were all excited about the membership program, and they heard it from some conference. And basically what they did is they started signing up. They signed up about 100 patients, and they didn't on a yearly plan. And what happened is at the end of the year, they didn't think about the future. They didn't think about auto-renewing those patients. So the staff had to go and call 100 patients to try to resell them on this program. And I like to think about it as Amazon Prime. And if you think about how they manage their membership program, they automate it every year. It automatically takes out of their account, right?
Yep.
I don't know if you're a Prime user.
Yes, I am.
I'm a Prime member as well. So that's how they do it. So you got to have auto renewals, or else it's going to be really hard to grow it. And to you don't want to resell this again and again to the same person. You want to sell it once and give them awesome benefits and have them become a customer for life, right?
Yeah.
That's more of a long-term strategy. Those are the two biggest ones I see. Some of the other ones I see is people using Google Docs to store financial data. And that's a huge problem because Google Docs can get hacked. In fact, my Gmail got hacked a couple months ago, and it was a nightmare. And if I had financial data on that, I'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so there's PCI compliance laws out there, and how I explain that is it's pretty much like HIPAA, but for credit cards.
Yeah.
So those are some of the biggest problems I see when getting it started.
So storing data in a place that's safe and making sure that... So what does it cost to... Because I know Boom Cloud, you've developed a product that helps kind of do this for people. I guess what's the cost of that product, and you know, what things does it do that makes it easier for me to implement this?
Yeah, so currently our pricing model for the product is around $199 a month.
Okay.
We have some setup fees. Basically, our software integrates in the website so patients can sign up for the practices plans right online.
Yeah.
So we have some setup fees. Typically, we waive them if we do those promotions, right?
Yeah.
So it's $199 a month for what we're charging.
And that helps me get to the point where I can track all this stuff compliantly.
Yep.
I can get my renewals set up on an automated basis.
Yep.
Kind of see information about the plan that people have signed up for. And there might be different plans that I offer. And I can keep track of what type of plan people have signed up for.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can create unlimited plans if you wanted to. I don't know why you want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, but the software will be able to manage it. You don't have to manage it in your head, right?
Yeah. Isn't it generally recommended to have, I mean, don't you want to have between like two and three options?
That's what I recommend is having two to three options.
One option's probably not ideal either because then I feel like I'm getting sold one thing, right?
Yeah. And you want to, how I recommend people set up their plans is have a low, a middle, and a high option and kind of see what people buy it on. Probably the middle.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I was speaking to a doctor in Chicago and he just wanted to focus on a high one. I'm like, hey, create a couple plans and see what works for your market, right? I don't know what your market's like there, but don't just focus on the high monthly membership plan. You know, you got to create a variety of plans and then see which one works for your practice. That's what I recommend.
So one of the things that I, as a dentist, that I'm thinking about when I'm looking to like implement this is obviously, you know, I've got to have a way to track it, and that's what your product does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of our listeners are probably going, well, are there other people out there that do this? Are you guys the only one that does it? Like, you know, who else is doing this, and how do I compare your product to theirs? You know, and simplify
like other competitors that do it? Yeah, there's a couple of them out there. I think Lumitrack is one.
So those there's different providers, and how do you differentiate from them?
So basically how we differentiate is we're always adding new things to our software.
Okay.
A lot of software companies out there, they'll create something and they just sit on it. At least the ones that I know of that are doing the same thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
They sit on it and they don't make any changes or don't make any improvements. That's the biggest thing.
So you guys are really focused on user feedback and trying
to... In our software, we have a section where they can submit ideas. And basically, we take those ideas and then we do a poll on with all of our customers. We do a poll with them and basically we have our customers vote on what they want to be added next to the software. So that's one thing that we do that most others don't.
That's great.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest the biggest
differentiator. The
differentiator right there. Yeah.
So I think that this has been really helpful, man. So ultimately, determine how many patients I currently have that are not on insurance, and look at my patient base and mm-hmm. analyze that. Get someone to help me with it. Second, kind of determine a benefits package or some kind of plan that I'm going to deliver. And then you guys have templates that you offer.
Yeah.
And I can reach out to various practice management consultants who can help me do the same thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Third, find a way to keep track of this stuff so that it's not a mess and I'm not – that it's sustainable. And,
yeah.
And you guys have created a product that allows people to do that in a really efficient way.
Yeah, and I didn't mention this before, but I'm big on creating processes and systems. And a dental practice is a business that definitely needs certain systems to make anything successful. You know, you can look at different aspects on the business and the clinical end of a dental practice, and there's systems in place that make you successful as a dentist.
Yeah. I think it's really true, man. And we've spent a lot of time talking about that to our listeners and clients about how important it is to attack things in a really precise way. If you're going to do something, do it the right way. If you're going to do something, do it with discipline and with some order. And mm-hmm. sometimes that requires a little bit of cost of your staff's time, a little bit of your time, cost in software and products to kind of make it scalable. And so I guess it's been a great interview. It gives people a lot to think about, man. So anything you'd like to leave with our listeners before we let you go? Any last minute thoughts, kind of takeaways?
If you're really thinking about doing an in-house membership program, there's plenty of resources out there, online and offline, that you can find about in-house membership programs. The biggest problem I see is people, they think about doing it. They love the idea, but they just don't do anything. So just start. Start talking to your patients about, you know, your ideas with a membership program, and start implementing it. It's not that hard to do. It's a simple strategy, but it can do wonders for your practice.
Well, thanks, Jordan. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and sharing your wisdom and insight on this, and all the hard work you've went through to put a product together that makes this possible. I think it's really insightful, and it's a simple and easy solution for people to get started on testing an in-house membership program. So
awesome. Thanks,
congrats, Reese. And good work, man. We'll look forward to having you on the show again.
Sweet.